from ABC News, World News This Week. I'm Chuck Sievertson in New York. Coming up, sprint to the finish.
I don't take anything for granted. We're going to work for every single vote up to the last minute.
We are creating the greatest red wave in the history of our country.
Record COVID cases.
We do not want to have to look into a lockdown, but that's where we're heading if we don't act urgently.
Deadly Hurricane Zeta.
We've already had winds gusting over 100 miles an hour south of here. You can see the winds ripping down Canal Street.
And a major discovery on the moon.
We're not talking rivers or lakes here. This would be water stuck to the surface like molecules of water.
The people and events that made headlines when World News This Week continues. With Election Day next week, an all-out blitz this week, President Trump crisscrossing the country, scheduling nearly a dozen events in 48 hours. Former Vice President Joe Biden flooding the airwaves with ads and staging virtual events amid the pandemic. The candidates stumping in the Midwest on Friday and on Thursday, both in the battleground state of Florida. Details from ABC's Mary Bruce.
If Florida goes blue, it's over.
We are going to win Florida. We are going to win four more years in the White House.
The candidates Thursday with dueling Florida rallies. This state is a must-win for the president. He's held five rallies there this month, more than any other state. Trump trying to sell his record, even as the state's economy is taking a hit from the pandemic.
Under my leadership, the Florida tourism industry and hospitality industry will come roaring back very soon. It's ready to happen. We're making the turn.
And he's touting a new report showing the economy grew at a record 33% annual pace during the third quarter. But economists say it's not enough to make up for the massive losses during the first half of the year. Many Americans still feeling the pain. Over 750,000 filed new unemployment claims just last week. Even with COVID cases spiking and the U.S. hitting a dire new record, more than 88,000 new cases in a single day, Trump is still insisting it's not a big deal, using his own recovery as an example.
You're going to get better. If I can get better, anybody can get better, and I got better fast.
But Biden is accusing the president of giving up on the pandemic.
16,000 people in Florida have been lost, and millions of people are out of work, on the edge. They can't see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Promising he can tackle the virus and bring the country back.
I'm not going to shut down the country, but I'm going to shut down the virus. President Trump's super spreader events, and he's spreading more virus around the country and here in Florida today.
The candidate's spouses are also on the road. Jill Biden in Michigan Thursday. And for the first time this year, First Lady Melania Trump joining her husband on the trail.
Hello, Florida. It is wonderful to be here in our home state.
Early voters are shattering records. More than 82 million Americans already casting ballots, many waiting hours online. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says it's encouraging.
Whoever they're voting for, it's a joy to behold people exercising their civic duty, honoring the sacred right that we have to vote in our democracy.
Texas topping previous tallies, as we hear from ABC's Inez de la Cotera.
New data released Friday morning shows more than 9 million have already voted in the state of Texas, with voters across Houston area counties smashing all-time records. Harris County Clerk Chris Hollins revealing the county has now surpassed the entire voter turnout from 2016.
Mail-in voting also in demand. 90 million Americans requesting absentee ballots. At least 56 million sent in so far. Here's ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Jonathan Carl.
In all 50 states, those mail-in votes must be sent by Election Day. But in 28 states, they must also arrive by the time polls close. The Supreme Court rejected an effort to extend the deadline in Wisconsin that would have allowed another 6 days for those ballots to arrive in the mail and still be counted. In 22 states, ballots are counted if they arrive in the days after the election, as long as they are postmarked by Election Day. There is nothing new about voting by mail, but President Trump continues to attempt to sow doubt about it, tweeting without evidence, big problems and discrepancies with mail-in ballots, must have final total on November 3rd. Twitter put a warning on that message, saying it is disputed and might be misleading. Another misleading statement by the president.
It would be very, very proper and very nice if a winner were declared on November 3rd. Instead of counting ballots for 2 weeks, which is totally inappropriate, and I don't believe that that's by our laws. I don't believe that. So we'll see what happens.
Again, in 22 states, ballots are counted even if they arrive days after the election, as long as they're postmarked on time. Another factor to watch, when the votes are actually counted. It may take a while. 34 states will not even begin to count those millions of mailed-in votes until Election Day. One of those is Texas, where polls show Biden and Trump in a dead heat. Both candidates are courting Latinos, the largest non-white voting bloc in the country. Renato Ramirez, a rancher born and raised in Texas, told our John Quijones he voted early for the president.
Why Trump?
The economy? Bottom line.
But in poll after poll, Joe Biden has maintained a big lead among Latino voters. Seema Hernandez, the first in her family born in the U.S., wants to make sure they go to the polls.
There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake with this kind of president in office, with his dangerous rhetoric and his dangerous policies.
The Supreme Court this week rejected an extension for receiving and counting ballots in Wisconsin, but ruling differently in two other battleground states. Here's ABC News senior national correspondent Terry Moran.
The justices turning back efforts by Republicans to block election officials from accepting absentee ballots that arrive after Election Day. 3 days after in Pennsylvania, 9 days in North Carolina, the justices declining to do that, saying it's just too late in the day, but they said they could take up the cases afterwards.
Also up for grabs this election, control of Capitol Hill. Democrats hoping to flip 4 seats and win back the Senate. Here again, ABC's Terry Moran.
As political ads blanket the airwaves, this election season could become the most expensive ever, with several Senate races surpassing $200 million each. And now some Democrats are sensing victory. In Arizona, Republican Senator Martha McSally fending off a strong challenge from former astronaut Mark Kelly, the husband of former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords. McSally's the incumbent, appointed to succeed the late Senator John McCain, and she's had to distance herself from President Trump's harsh attacks on McCain.
Quite frankly, it pisses me off when he does it.
In South Carolina, Trump ally Senator Lindsey Graham is in the fight of his political life, begging for cash on Fox News.
The internet's melting down. There is an absolute desire to take me out. LindseyGraham.com. I need your help now more than ever.
Graham's getting outspent by an unexpectedly popular Democratic challenger, Jamie Harrison. He's shattered fundraising totals and unleashed a barrage of attack ads.
He's attacking us, opposing help for South Carolinians, refusing to extend the COVID unemployment benefits, saying,
over our dead bodies, this will get reauthorized.
This just one of many races showing longtime incumbents in jeopardy. In Maine, Republican Senator Susan Collins infuriated many voters with her vote to confirm Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. She's struggling to hold on against Democrat Sarah Gideon, who raised nearly $400 million in just 3 months, making this one of the most costly Senate races in the country. And in North Carolina, where Senator Tom Tillis tested positive for coronavirus after attending the White House announcement of Amy Coney Barrett's Supreme Court nomination, he's still trailing his Democratic challenger, Cal Cunningham, even after he was caught in a sexting scandal.
This week, a new outbreak of COVID-19 inside the White House. Here again, ABC's Jonathan Carl.
5 members of Vice President Pence's team are now currently infected, including the vice president's personal assistant and his chief of staff, who is almost always by his side. This a month after the first big outbreak at the White House infected more than 24 people, including the president and the first lady. Pence is the head of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. He was in Minnesota.
Thank you so much for coming out on this blustery day.
While CDC guidelines say anybody in close contact with an infected person should quarantine for 2 weeks, the White House says Pence is still out campaigning because he's an essential worker. The president is mocking the widespread concern.
And we're rounding the turn. You know, all they want to talk about is COVID. By the way, on November 4th, you won't be hearing so much about it. COVID.
But some researchers warn that unless more people wear masks and socially distance, the death toll by the end of February could top 500,000. The president routinely insists the virus has already been beaten, but Sunday, his chief of staff said it cannot be controlled. At an impromptu campaign stop in Chester, Pennsylvania, Biden responded.
The fact of the matter is, this president's chief of staff just acknowledged they're giving up. They're not in pretending.
nothing I can do anything about this.
He vowed a Biden administration will get control of the virus.
And look, folks, I promise you this. I'm never going to give up. I don't know what we'll inherit on January the 21st. But the rate he's going, it's not going to be good. But we're going to be able to make it.
Biden's approach to the final days is dramatically different and more cautious than Trump's.
We're not putting on super spreaders.
This as the U.S. hit a new record this week for daily COVID cases, 90,000, more than one infection every second, more than 9 million cases in the country since the pandemic began. And according to a new HHS memo obtained by ABC News, key metrics are still rising. Cases up in 48 states, more than 229,000 Americans dead. Dr. Ashish Jha, Dean of Brown University's School of Public Health, with a warning.
We do not want to have to look into a lockdown, but that's where we're heading if we don't act urgently.
In Milwaukee, Wisconsin this week, a staggering 36.9 positivity rate. Mayor Tom Barrett considering more restrictions.
Nothing is off the table right now because the numbers are growing at an unabated level, and it's just not acceptable.
ABC's Alex Perez has more.
Ohio Governor DeWine says there's no place to hide from the virus as cases surpassed 3,000 for the first time.
Virus is raging throughout the state of Ohio.
In Wisconsin, the latest numbers grim. Nearly 5,000 new cases reported Thursday. The positivity rate here, a jaw-dropping 36.9%. Hospitals in the state on track to run out of ICU beds in as little as 2 weeks. One in five reporting a critical staffing shortage.
I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe without the oxygen going low 60s, 70s. And I had to have the machine on constantly.
Carmen Lerma battled COVID-19 in July, suffering through 45 days on a ventilator, both of her lungs failing. But a turn for the better for this Milwaukee resident. 9 days ago, the 52-year-old received a double lung transplant, saving her life.
It's about being responsible, being educated, and understanding the power of this virus.
In all, right now, 25 states setting new records for cases in the last 2 weeks. So concerning, El Paso County in Texas enacting immediately a 2-week shutdown of non-essential businesses. And with Halloween, real fear the number of people infected across the country could surge even more.
ABC's Alex Perez in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Protests in France this week as a month-long lockdown begins. This as much of Europe undergoes what officials call a second wave of COVID-19. ABC News foreign correspondent James Longman on why this is happening.
There is no tracing, so we can't follow cases where they go. We don't know where people are going. We're not sure where these infections are spreading in the wider community. And I think that's the great issue that Europe is dealing with. When we had our first lockdowns across this continent, the hope was during that time, governments would fix their test and trace systems. They didn't do that.
Back in the U.S., deadly Hurricane Zeta hammering the Gulf Coast, then hurtling north. ABC News senior meteorologist Rob Marciano with details.
After a stunning late-season landfall in Louisiana, Zeta continues its path of destruction, knocking out power to millions. Multiple people killed by falling trees in the Atlanta area. Power knocked out to some early voting locations in Georgia just days before the election. Zeta coming ashore as a powerful Category 2 hurricane south of New Orleans.
We've already had winds gusting over 100 miles an hour south of here. You can see the winds ripping down Canal Street.
Over 8 feet of storm surge in Mississippi. In Biloxi, this family rescued from high water.
We woke up and the house was flooding and we're all scared because the water was coming in really fast and we didn't know what to do.
Daylight revealing destruction in Gulfport. Boats pushed into the parking lots.
There is damage and debris across the city of New Orleans.
Brian Ellis was badly hurt by the flying debris.
I'm glad that somebody witnessed it and came out and called the ambulance.
Zeta, the fifth named storm to hit Louisiana this season. Full House actress Lori Loughlin reported to prison Friday. Details from ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Lori Loughlin began serving her 2-month prison sentence for her role in the college admissions cheating scheme. She wasn't due to report to prison until next month, but prosecutors agreed she could begin serving her time sooner, provided she does not seek early release. Loughlin surrendered to the Federal Correctional Institution in Dublin, California, after she pleaded guilty to paying a bribe to get her daughters into USC as recruits for the crew team. Her husband, fashion designer Massimo Giannulli, must serve a 5-month sentence.
And the end of a notorious murder case in Connecticut. Here again, ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Connecticut's chief state's attorney declined to retry Michael Skakel, the Kennedy relative who had been convicted of murdering his neighbor Martha Moxley in 1975 and later saw the conviction vacated. The state can no longer prove the case because too many witnesses have died. Moxley's brother John said he and his family are at peace.
I don't think Michael Skakel is the devil. I think that he did something in a fit of jealous rage.
Prosecutors believe Moxley rejected Skakel's advances when they were both 15. Skakel served 11 years before his conviction was tossed based on the ineffectiveness of his defense attorney.
A reckoning this week for the founder of Nexium, a group prosecutors called a sex cult. Keith Raniere sentenced to more than 100 years behind bars. ABC's Amy Robach has that.
The founder of the self-help group Nexium sentenced to 120 years behind bars for charges including racketeering, sex trafficking, and forced labor. Several former members of his organization sharing their relief outside of court.
This is the finale for him. His victimization of people, his terrorizing people, it really is over. 120 years, right? So when I got over my shock, I was like, okay, he can't come for me now.
Prosecutors say Raniere, known as Vanguard to his followers, was a con man and a predator who exploited women, blackmailing them to be his slaves, have sexual relationships with him, and having them branded with his initials.
It was the most inhumane, horrific way to treat anybody.
In court, Raniere maintaining his innocence, calling his victims free-thinking adults. More than a dozen former members confronting him in court, delivering impact statements, including India Oxenberg, who joined the group when she was 19 years old. Emotional at times, telling the judge, "I will be a victim of Keith Raniere for the rest of my life, but I don't need to live as one." India's mother, Dynasty star Catherine Oxenberg, spent years publicly fighting to free India from the group, speaking out exclusively to GMA.
"I did everything that I could in my power to stop this man from abusing and exploiting women. And people have seen him for who he is, not this mild-mannered guru self-help leader. He's a vile monster, and he deserves to be behind bars."
Archbishop Wilton Gregory is about to become the first black American cardinal. ABC's Megan Williams reports from Rome.
Monsignor Wilton Gregory, Archivescovo di Washington.
Washington, D.C. Archbishop Gregory is among the 13 men the Pope announced Sunday that will become new cardinals, or so-called princes of the church.
Di 13 nuovi cardinali.
The Pope made the surprise announcement from his window to pilgrims in St. Peter's Square, saying the ceremony will be held on November 28th. Gregory is a renowned civil rights advocate who has spoken out on racial injustice and against President Trump's visit to a Washington Catholic shrine a day after soldiers used tear gas and rubber bullets to clear protesters so Trump could be pictured in front of a historic Washington church with a Bible. Gregory has served 3 times as the head of the U.S. Conference of Bishops and was picked by the Pope as Archbishop of Washington, D.C. last year. Megan Williams, ABC News, Rome.
It's time to roll the clocks back, but there's a push to end the time change, as we hear from ABC's Ariel Reshef.
The end of daylight saving time made more complicated this year with many parents working from home and millions of kids virtual learning.
In the afternoon and early evening, just to have that extra light is really important.
The Singer family of New York says the time change is one more major disruption.
My daughter is affected because she goes to school in the dark and she comes home in the dark.
The American Academy of Sleep Medicine says shifting to and from daylight saving time has been associated with sleep disruption, mood disturbances, and even increased risk of fatal crashes. This at a time when sleep issues, anxiety, and depression are already on the rise during the pandemic. Now, the Academy recommending scrapping the seasonal time change altogether. For decades, some states like Arizona and Hawaii have kept the clocks the same year-round, citing the benefits of consistency. And as the pandemic persists, Florida Senators Marco Rubio and Rick Scott proposing a bill to do the same nationwide through November 2021.
Coming up, a major lunar discovery.
For the first time, water has been confirmed to be present on a sunlit surface of the moon.
When World News This Week continues.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer.
We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Scientists this week announcing they found much more water on the moon than they thought there was. ABC's Brad Milkey spoke to National Geographic science writer Maya Wehaz about the discovery.
Maya, first of all, what? Like, there's water on the moon?
Yeah, for sure. So scientists have long suspected that there's some form of water on the moon. And the two new studies really address sort of water in different regions of the moon.
Several studies have showed that water on the moon's surface is in its permanently shadowed craters. Today, we are announcing that for the first time, water has been confirmed to be present on a sunlit surface of the moon.
One is really looking at these sort of sunlit swaths across the moon. And we're not talking rivers or lakes here. This would be water stuck to the surface, like molecules of water stuck to the surface of tiny grains or sort of encapsulated in beads of glass. And in 2009, instruments on three different spacecraft confirmed that there was indeed water-like signals in these sunlit portions of the moon. The problem was that these early analyses couldn't tell the difference between water and a related molecule, hydroxyl. So one of these new studies kind of tweaked that method. So they actually can now say unambiguously that yes, on the sunlit zones of the moon, there's actually some water there.
Why do we care though? Like what would this mean for us, for humans and for the universe going forward?
Right. So one of the primary things that's brought up when people talk about water on the moon is the potential for future humans traveling to the moon or beyond, the idea of sort of this permanent lunar base that often comes up. And this includes NASA's upcoming mission, the Artemis mission.
That's like if we're living there, like we need water. So it's nice that there's water up there like to drink instead of hauling bottled water up there?
Sure. And this is not always necessarily to drink. The main thing that is generally talked about when we're talking water on the moon is the idea of using it, mining it for fuel. So if you split them apart and liquefy, you can actually produce fuel that can be used. And yeah, it's super duper expensive to bring stuff up to the moon. And so if you can find a resource that actually replenishes itself on the surface, that would be pretty amazing.
And those are the people and events that made world news this week. World News This Week was written and produced by Joan Harris. I'm Chuck Sievertson, ABC News, New York.